Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast. What happened? What are we doing now?
Yeah.
I think we're live, guys.
Are we live?
No, we're live. You counted down. We're doing the show. This is the show.
Oh, we're on. This is the, what's the name again? This is the Ebro, Laura, and Rosenberg show after the show live.
The after party?
Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
The go live after the live program show. You guys want to stick with that? We go live after the live.
I like that. We go
Somebody
live
said,
after the live.
I still love you, Peter, but we need family court. Oh.
Family court? Why? What happened?
About the dunk?
I'm trying to see.
About the what?
Might be about the Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts?
No. The me calling, saying no one could dunk.
Did you say no one, or was it more? It was more about me.
Yes.
No, it was you. But then, honestly, everyone who jumped in, I thought they were lying even more. It got worse as it went on. It started with you, and I was like questioning it. But I know you're athletic, so I was like, I believe Ebro could probably dunk. Just I'm getting into the technical in the game argument. But then Cass jumps in and acts like he's out here dunking all the time. And I'm like, really?
But
then when Shawnee weighs in,
they're
I'm
trying
like,
to say that
go.
They've done it in the past when they were like 17, 18, which is not hard to believe. You're making it seem
but
like
Laura,
they're trying to do
Laura,
it now.
Laura, with all due respect, and I mean what I'm saying to this. I love you. You don't know what you're talking about.
What do
so,
you mean?
Okay, Rosenberg, let's break it down.
You don't know.
Let's
I've
break
seen
it down.
It.
Rosenberg, let's break it down. Do you believe I could dunk a tennis ball?
Oh, my God.
I believe that.
No, actually,
you
know what? No, let's go back.
What a hater.
Do you think I could jump up, grab the rim, and hang on it?
When?
When I was 18, 19.
When you were 18.
17.
Yes. Yeah. I would imagine as a teenager, you could hang on the rim. Yep.
Okay. Do you believe I could dunk a tennis ball?
Yes.
Do you believe I could dunk a volleyball?
I believe the volleyball would have been like you're at the gym in high school.
Yeah.
Everyone's hanging out. Seeing who can dunk what.
Okay.
And you're messing around with the volleyball. And I think you could get up there like kind of running and jam down the volleyball. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Do you think I can palm a basketball? Like actually pick up a basketball, hold it like this, and palm a basketball?
The right ball, I could see that being. Not easily. I don't think easily.
Right.
I don't think easily. I know these things. See, Laura, you don't understand. I know these things. I'm able to think about this.
So,
I know
so
Ebro's
here's how
hands.
It went
I know
for me.
Basketball.
This is how it went for me. When I was in like every eighth grade kid, you know, I'm trying to touch the rim.
Sure.
Right? When I was in ninth grade, I dunked a tennis ball. That was the first time I actually got up and got the tennis ball over the rim.
And it was a moment in time. Let's
Oh, 1,000%. But I was actively working on dunking. Like literally running the stairs in the stadium, doing calf raises, going to the gym, working on explosive drills, jumping up, touching the backboard with two hands. Like it was something like me and my friends was like, we're going to dunk.
Right.
So then once I palmed the volleyball, which was I could do easily in the eighth and ninth grade. Well, I started with tennis ball. Then it happened with a volleyball. And then the hard, as you say, the hard part was getting the basketball, holding it. And because of the size of the ball, getting it up over the rim and putting it in.
See? Yep. Laura, right? are you hearing this so far, though?
Yes,
This is why I'm skeptical of everyone casually saying they could dunk in a game.
Right, because you have to be. But so in a game, the reason it's easier, well, not easier, but the reason the ball is because you're moving faster. So even if you don't fully grip the ball, you have your hand over the top. So if you get enough height, if you can get forearm over the rim, you can get the ball in.
Yeah, but forearm over the rim is high, too.
Oh, yeah. No, it's high. But I could definitely get to this part on the rim. I could definitely do that.
I would understand, so, Rosenberg, if they're telling you they could do it now. Then I would be like, I agree with Rosenberg. 50? I don't see it.
Hey, yo,
you
know what I mean? But yo, I'm coming back. I got a new knee.
Like 18? Like,
but Laura, what I'm trying to explain to you, and if there are people in the chat, I'm sure they understand what I'm saying. Most 6'1", 6'2", teenagers, if they don't play a lot of ball, can't dunk comfortably. They can stand around, run, and dunk a tennis ball. But getting to that point of where you're up there dunking a ball, even in a pickup game, is hard. Like,
I get it, but they're telling you they did it before. So why don't you believe them?
Because he's mad, Laura. It's really hate.
No, do you work on this show?
Just,
I mean,
they're just telling you, like, yeah, I've done it before.
So it's
like,
Ebro.
Okay,
it's exaggeration, bro. It's troll one, and it's Shawnee who will just throw out whatever. So come on.
Hey.
I'm having a
you hear this?
That was crazy.
Victoria Gerstorfer writes, Rosenberg is always hating. Adrian Bonds believes in me. And Michael Ramos writes, I've seen some big dudes dunk gravity defying. I'm not even that big, to be honest. Like, as far as big dudes dunking, I'm not big.
I mean, for a non-ball player.
I played sports constantly. Like, all I did in high school was play and younger was play sports. I've been playing sports all year long since I was 5 years old. That's all I did.
If you're above 6 feet, it's not that hard if you've been running and athletic your whole childhood.
So I want to throw this out there too. Cass isn't here. I'll throw it out to both of you. And I'd like you to take your time and think, and I will accept the answer. How many times playing a game of basketball, meaning at least 3-on-3, preferably 5-on-5, playing a game, you just got the ball and yammed mid.
I only in a game did it twice, and it was pickup games, and it was full court,
and it was like a breakaway.
Yeah, it was a steal. It was actually someone got a steal. I broke out on the wing. They threw it. I got the ball at the 3-point line.
Gave it a couple
triple. Bow. It wasn't
sexy. You got it down.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was like, oh, is it, can I do it? It was one of those.
You touched the rim, the ball went in, it's a dunk. It counts.
But I have one time I did a two-footed putback. Like the ball was just on the rim coming off, and I grabbed it and yank.
I believe that because the right timing,
that's just a timing thing. That was just a timing.
Right. Now, Shawnee, I'm going to pose the same question to you.
It's basically the same. Basically the same.
Oh, just, here comes DJ Lie One.
Yo, Cash, we're still talking about this dunk thing because Rosenberg ate.
Ebro, I now believe your story. I believe Ebro's story. My story's the same as his.
No,
yo, I've never in my life been able to go to the lane, explode on a defender, body them up against. So you're using your power and inertia up against them and dunk. I've never been able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had that level.
I appreciate
of,
this honesty.
Of explosiveness.
Right. So I guess it's about the capability of being able to dunk.
But see, are you putting
versus on it? Being in a game, like that's what matters to you the most?
Yes, of course. Because because obviously I've known plenty of people who, you know, around your height when hanging out could possibly get up there and everyone's trying to dunk repeatedly and could get one down.
Right.
What I was trying to say here in the conversation where it started was I was just messing with Ebro because he said dunk again as if it was like a thing. So I was just busting his balls. But then when we started the convo and everyone's like, nah, dunk. I want to push the in a game convo because that's
That is different.
And at a pickup game, unless you're playing at the Rucker. If you're at the best parks in New York, people yam for sure. Right. But in regular life, like out at a random spot on Long Island and someone just catches and yams, that's not all the time. That's all I'm saying.
You know,
I'll say this, Rosenberg. It's more common now than it was when I was young. There are more people actively dunking under 6'4", even 6'2", than when we were young. It's more common. People work on it. There's different techniques, explosive techniques. There's all type of things that people actively work on that we didn't know about when we was kids in high school. Like, you can go. I couldn't go on Instagram and be like, yo, what's a great explosive leg workout I could work on for the next 8 to 12 weeks to increase my vertical by, you know, 4 inches.
No, now it's probably a thing. It's probably a thing.
Yeah. All we had back then was strength shoes. Remember the
shoes? Remember them joints with the heat, with the thing under the ball of the foot? I bought those.
I bought them too. I had the strength shoes, you know what I'm saying? They helped me get my vertical up like a good inch or two.
Strength shoes.
I remember.
Laura, they were those shoes where it forced you to walk on your toes. And so you would run the stairs in the gym or wherever you ran stairs at with these things on your toes to make
like
you
like weighted.
They were like weighted.
Yeah, they were weighted in the front, white shoes.
They weren't quite wedges, but you know.
Oh yeah, Griff said you had to shoot jumpers in them too. That's right.
Wow.
That's right. That was a good time, man. It was a good
people
time.
People were into those. That was a whole thing.
Yeah, listen, yeah. I got a new knee. So here's what I'm working on, y'all. This is what I'm working on. So over the next 3 months, obviously I'm still doing my cycling thing, but I'm going to get back to running. I'm going to try to get back to running a couple of sprints.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can get just a little sprint back.
Okay.
Then I'm going to try to get my explosiveness back to where I could jump up on like an 18-inch box.
Hey, yo.
Get up on it. Hey, you. Get up on that. And I'm going to be working on my squat, so I'm going to report back. I'm going to try to get my squat game back up to about 315.
And the goal is to be able to touch the rim or to dunk?
I think rim
would be a great goal.
Touching the rim is a good goal right now.
I don't know, guys. It's not the going up. It's the coming down.
Yeah. By the way, this whole thing is an LLJ Cool J.
Oh man, it's waiting for my Achilles to just explode.
That
was
terrible. Why? Because and then they'll say, "Why'd you do that?" And you go, "Rosenberg doubted that I could dunk in high school."
Yeah, it's like, yo, LLJ Cool J.
You do gotta start stretching though, Ibram, and being agile, because that when your baby becomes a toddler boy.
Oh man, listen, I'm getting my energy back after the knee surgery. Like, my legs feel great. My energy's going back up. My condition is going back up. So it's good. It's good.
Yo, Rosenberg, you with your boy Toussaint?
Alex
you
Toussaint.
Still doing that?
I've been trying to get back on. I did last week. I actually found a new guy I liked. Atlas, I love Alex. He's the man. He's in the category, as many of them are, of a bit much for me on a given day.
Gotcha.
I just was rocking with Alex the other day at the hotel.
On the screen?
On the Peloton. Peloton.
Like, when I go to hotels, I jump on the Peloton.
One, two.
I did the R&B ride, the 30-minute R&B ride.
Well, here's my problem, and I love, shout out to Alex Toussaint. He put out a book. He's killing it. He's in commercials. He's hot out here. All of them bother me. Cass, I don't know if, Cass, you ever done Peloton?
Never. I've never been able to do it.
So it bothers me a lot from a DJ perspective. They will kill a mood, Cass. You are going a direction and then they go so left and I go, man,
yo,
they need to hire professional DJs to come work with you guys.
That's my man Alex right there. What's up, Alex?
Yo, Ebro, connect me with you, man.
What would you do? Me personally, I'm gonna go overboard, baby.
Well, right, so I think the thing that they're dealing with, I don't know what their music. I mean,
y'all heard Laura hating on the low. Y'all heard Laura's whisper hate.
She don't know what
she went. I find them kind of corny on the low.
I do.
That just happened.
I do SoulCycle and my girl Claire Jones, and the reason why I love her so much is because her music is on point. It makes a huge difference.
Claire's not on the Peloton app, bro.
No, she's a SoulCycle.
So you got to go to a low. This is for
Alex. No, you could do live stream too. You could do live stream too, but it's a different company.
Right, but like Alex, he's a spin cycle. You guys cut the guy some slack.
No. And by the way, he's among the better DJs. He's among the better DJs in the whole group.
Don't call him a DJ. The expectation that they're DJs is wild. Now, what could help?
DJ my workout. Damn it!
No, they're curating. If anything, now what could help if you're a some sort of SoulCycle, Peloton, whatever it is, the selection is what Rosenberg is talking about.
Correct.
The order that you're putting the records in. I don't know if you guys have someone helping you with that, but it sounds like Cass One and Rosenberg would like to help you guys flow together.
Yeah, Cass, maybe we'll just go in one day and like host a luncheon. You know what I mean? Let's just all talk about vibes and where are you. If you're in a pocket, we'll give like a little quiz. If you play X, Y, and Z, what should you play next? And see where they go, because sometimes they'll just
go. Laura, why don't we all go take your girls' class?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
That'd be cool.
I'll take the class.
Yeah.
I'm down.
That's dope.
I don't want to be in any sort of cycling class with Ebro. That's it.
Why? You go at your own speed. You go at your own. Yeah. Your, whatever you're capable of.
Well, how? Yeah,
so and by the way, I'm not even that capable right now. Like I'm
it's hurt right now. Now's your chance, Rosenberg. If you ever
I'm not. A, it's not a competition, Cass.
No,
it's
but let me tell you something.
No, they keep up. Even keep up, because Ebro, come on. Like honestly, here you cycle hundreds of miles every weekend. Like, we're not just going to get on a bike and keep
up. No, it's crazy.
But injured Ebro.
No, but
injured Ebro is the way to go. It's our only chance.
I tell you something, though.
Ebro.
That spin class is harder in some ways than cycling outside, because you don't get a rest. Like, when you're cycling outside, clearly there's times where it obviously is hard, but you can kind of coast behind other people and rest a little bit and
catch a little downhill.
Yeah, they're catching downhills, and maybe you got the wind at your back or something, and you got a tailwind and that's pushing. There's all type of ways where road cycling can be. Those spin classes, bro. All right. Bruh.
I took a couple.
I'll take it.
Then it stopped because I was just like, this is because Ebro, you're right. They go, okay, you're going uphill now. Put the
crank it up.
Crank it up. Crank it back. Make it heavier. Standing up, sitting down, doing push-ups on the bike.
Oh, yeah. Like, bro. This right here, when they be like, oh, sit, stand, sit. Right.
You
be like,
all right, the Peloton dude, classes, like, do you got to do the weights, stand. Too? You do the weights
all the weights. All the weights. The weights will send you. You'll be like, oh, it's 5 pounds. It ain't nothing.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Don't sleep.
All right, now.
Yes. But, like, there are people, when people get to a certain strength level, like Ebro, my cousin Jeremy is a big Peloton guy, and he's a big dude to start out with. Like, he started out big. That your leg strength is such a different level that, like, the numbers y'all put up in your the output numbers and cadence is a different thing altogether. You know, my cousin's up there putting up his. I'll see his output. He'll post it online. But what the fuck are you doing on that bike?
Yeah, no, there's dudes in that Peloton, bro.
No. When you're in the class and you can see what they're doing, I'm watching their numbers and I see where mine are. And I'm like,
I know.
How fast are you
I
going?
I know.
I don't like, I'm a grown ass man, guys. I can't dunk. I have no issue with that. And I can't bike fast like that. My legs cannot push to the way y'all are doing it. I do not get what you're putting into this fucking thing.
But if like, I guess you it's could just get a, there. You could get there.
Yes. Anybody. Yeah. No. Could you're probably there.
Like it just takes work.
I could get closer, but the truth is, even if I worked my ass off, I will still be short of someone who is stronger and bigger and also working their ass off.
Of course, but you're pushing yourself each time you get on that bike, Rosenberg. So I feel like I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, I've been a disaster since the wedding. I've been on 6 months of disaster. Let's be honest. Take a quick vacation will bury you.
Yo, so just the other day, I did the 20-minute R&B Alex Toussaint ride. I'm looking at, like, what I did.
All right, what's your output?
My average output was only 111 watts.
Okay.
That's not crazy.
No, 111. In how long?
20 minutes.
In a 20? I mean, it's still not bad. What was the calories burn?
177 calories. That's what it says. I don't know if that's based.
That's still pretty good. And
it was an average resistance was 42%.
Oh, well, you went light, but this is light for you. What I'm saying is you're going light, bro. When you're going at your best, fully healthy, I bet your average resistance is in the 50s, not in the 40s.
I gotta look. Let me look at my thing.
Like 42 is a, you know, it's 42 is hard to keep the whole time though, as average, even to be honest with you.
You're showing up. You guys want to talk about Mos Def or not?
Wait, I'm showing up. What do you mean I'm showing up?
She's just trying. She's trying to say, "Shut up! Just be positive. You're doing a great job. Let's move on." I like it, Laura.
We were talking about our Peloton spinning. You know what I'm saying?
Keep it up.
I like. All right, you want to play the Let's break down the most clip. Do you have that, Bascom? You want to show us the Mighty Most response? Yeah,
Most Def responds.
By the way, no one went to see Andre Flutes in Brooklyn yesterday?
Wait,
that was in Brooklyn yesterday?
Yeah, he's at the Blue Note, I think, tonight and tomorrow.
What? I wanted to get tickets for us for the Blue Note. I tried. I was going to surprise you guys, but it was sold out.
Damn.
My friend went, and she said that he cried on stage. Oh,
what's he crying about?
I don't know.
I know that
if you would like to speak to me directly, you can.
We got to figure out our production. We start throwing clips in, bro, without like
pull up that.
You got to start that from the top, man.
So yeah,
Jay, if you would like to speak to me directly, you can at any point. I reached out to Chappelle, actually reached out to you. I DM'd you.
He's not responding to
you. You are a very talented MC. But for me, I require more of myself and others than just talent or charm or charisma. And what I would like to see in terms of creators or creative people in the world as it relates to our culture is for people to connect with us beyond the jukebox. It was not an opportunity to try to slander him or to clown on him. I have reached out to him. I'm not keen to talk about people or to them through a screen. I prefer to talk to people directly.
So people are calling that a response to Drake. Did Drake, what has he responded to? The only thing Drake ever said after Mos Def's clip came out when he was talking to the Cutting Room Floor podcast was Drake coming out saying, keep that same energy. What did Umi say? Shine your light on the world. Like, basically, like, I'm shining my light for the world to see.
Yeah, and the clip that he posted was just like, was it Method Man? I don't remember who it was. Somebody was talking about what hip hop was and the elements of hip hop. So It wasn't even like, it was actually a positive response.
Right. I don't think this is Mos Def's response to Drake. I think this is Mos Def's response to us as the viewer.
I agree.
Who basically was having fun and doing so many skews.
Right.
And Mos Def basically clarifying, I think, for Drake what his intention was and where he's at with it, what his energy is with the whole situation, if anything.
Yeah, that wasn't really. He said he tried to reach out. You know what it was to me? It kind of read like maybe Mos felt bad.
Right.
So he reached out to him.
Right.
Right, right, right.
That's kind of how it read to me a little bit.
But that's good.
Yeah. I mean, Mos is a good guy.
And I like what Mos is saying. Listen, you know, back to this whole, and I was just here. This is another reason why Drake will never speak to me again. We'll never be cool. Is because the whole This Is America thing with Childish Gambino and Drake saying the song was overrated and whatever. And I felt some type of way because, like Mos, while I don't expect anything political or social commentary from Drake, I do like my hip hop to have it though. I do like music to have it. If that's the type of time that you're on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't think that every artist is cut out for that or even interested in that or required to be that.
I mean, listen, that generation, let's just be real. The Young Money crowd, not really big on issues of the day.
No.
Drake, Nicki, Wayne.
They don't do social commentary.
I'll challenge y'all to find the social commentary. That's not part of the, it ain't KRS and, you know what I mean?
And maybe they learned, and maybe that's on purpose, right? Because they wanted to be pop stars. They wanted to be chart toppers. They wanted to be, you know, people who were household names.
By the way, so did Curtis Blow. You know?
Did Curtis Blow have social commentary?
Right. I mean, no. Not, I mean, a little bit, but not much. I mean, you know, he was mostly trying to be
they're playing basketball?
Up and down the court.
Or was he saying, these are the breaks.
Yeah, but these are the breaks was a little bit of a, not really.
Though. I mean, break it up.
But didn't Curtis Blow have a drug record?
A drug record?
Where he was talking about people doing drugs, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
or not. Don't maybe do not. It. No, that's what you're thinking of white
lines. You're talking about white lines?
Yeah, white lines is don't do it. That's, yeah. Grandmaster, that's Melly Mel.
I didn't see this, but Drake called Mos Def a bohemian bucket. Did you see that in some IG comments?
Well, bucket, I guess, is some sort of slang. I forget what it, the term is about, but it's some Canadian slang.
What does that mean?
Like a druggie?
No. Is it a druggie?
A bucket?
What does bucket mean?
What is bucket actually? I saw people talking about it.
As such, recently it became slang for holding memories. No, look, bucket list. That's not it. Nope. I don't know. Is it bad? Oh,
bucket
my God.
Slang, Toronto. The insert term used in Toronto to refer to someone who habitually uses crack cocaine. Yeah, so I guess it is a drug addict.
Oh, boy.
He called him a bohemian crackhead?
Basically.
That's nah, like, you got too
according
far,
to
bro.
According to this.
Shani's like, oh, my
you
God.
You can't do that.
That doesn't sound right.
Dude, that's a lie.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary, I'm Toronto dead. Slang meaning junkie, crackhead, synonym for buck tea.
What?
He Come pops on, hands, Drake. He's a bucket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on,
so
John.
Yeah, I guess it is what Laura said.
I'm dead.
That's not nice.
That's not nice. Because he says so many skews, you called him a bohemian crackhead?
Call him a crackhead for that.
That's crazy.
So many products. Look, this mall has everything.
I mean, listen, that's the part I was not going to pretend, though, was what? That it wasn't a big diss. It was definitely a diss.
Yeah, he said it wasn't an opportunity to try to.
He did, and he also.
It was
did,
an opportunity to make yeah, a couple Shani, of and jokes.
He did hit the, you know, if it came across like that. I was like, Mo's. There's only one way that came across. Yeah,
he definitely made jokes.
Yeah, he could have been like, yo, we was joking. It was that. But, you know, it's not that
it
bad.
It was, but also, Drake musically is trying to be everything to everybody. He's trying to be, he wants to be Target of rap.
He's like, why not?
Why not? You can go grocery shopping here. We can get your bedding. We can buy a birthday card. We can go to the pharmacy.
I want you to hear my music.
Size change. We could get so many skills. This mall has everything.
Yeah. And I'm playing in the background.
But when you say that someone wants to be everything, you're saying they stand for nothing.
But that's also what Mos is saying.
Right. I'm just saying we can't escape that part. Right. And listen, I mean, if you were to say, what does Drake stand for as an artist? I do think that is a tough question to answer.
It is.
Even though I enjoy his music and think he's a dope rapper.
But that's what he stands for. He stands for making great songs.
Like, I make good vibes, good times.
I make great songs. I make hit songs. Chicks and like I, it. And, you
he's
know,
Champagne Poppy.
There you go. Good time.
Certified lover boy.
I'll refer to him as many things. One of them is not. Champagne Poppy.
Well, speaking of Champagne Poppy, I've never referred to him as that. And the other thing I could never do was call him the boy.
No, I'm not calling you the boy or Champagne Poppy.
Calling you anything because you don't call. So,
Yo, by the way, huge facts.
What was the last thing you called Rosenberg?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Who? Drake?
Drake.
He called me something?
Did he call you something when you guys were going back?
No, Rosenberg said that somebody at the bar mitzvah was tougher than Drake. What'd you say?
No, we've had other things since then.
Oh, really?
That's beefs ago.
That's beefs.
That was way long ago.
Now, what's interesting, I'm going to tell you something that's really interesting. It just popped in my head. So many, many years ago, if you have I think it's the Carter 3 album. If you have a Carter 3 album, in the album notes, Wayne wrote in the album notes, fuck Hot 97. Mm-hmm. Was that Carter 3, Shani?
I think so.
Because
when you guys
one day,
kicked him out the studio?
Well, so basically, we were in Shani, was you in the room that day?
I was there. Yeah, yeah.
So we were interviewing like a doctor or someone about a community event.
Yeah, the topic was just a deep one that you couldn't cut short. On the spot, and you needed to finish the thought.
Right. And we were in the middle of like some, you know, person trying to do something positive in the community. And Wayne comes and just kicks in the studio door because he was the next interview.
I mean,
he was being playful and having fun. And I was like, yo, chill.
You sunned him.
Chill. What the fuck are you doing? He was trying to be playful and having fun.
Right. I'm here.
Not knowing what was going on. So then he still waited in the back. But then by the time I got back there, I was going to do the interview with him. I could tell he didn't even really want to do the interview with us.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? Let's not do the interview. And from that point on, me and Wayne ain't never been cool.
Wait, but
fast forward,
not,
now I'm not cool with none of his artists either.
That was it, though? He was just like, I'm not the one to talk to you. And he just left.
Yeah, he was. Well,
after he barged in.
I think I did say, yo, you mad high right now. You're not ready to trying to do no interview.
Yeah. Okay. He hit
I
him.
Did not.
He slandered him a little bit, disrespected him. Yeah. You can leave if you want to.
It was one of those.
You got so many skews.
No, I didn't do
that.
Didn't
say that.
Wayne's one of them dudes. But it was just one of those scenarios. You know how I get, man. Y'all could, when you come into our studio, our space, whatever, you can't just talk to us any old type of way, bro. Or act however you like. We here. This is our home. Like, it's our studio. This is where we work. And y'all show up and you just going.
Well, and
you
also, you're
treat us any old type of way.
Especially when you're interviewing a community leader about something really important.
Yeah, it was just the time. It was the
bad time. It was all bad time. Anyway, the reason that came to my mind was because now, you know, whether it's Drake or Nicki, it's always an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all signed a Lil Wayne.
By the way, that is funny. That is funny. Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
So, drama-filled crew. My head, bro. What'd you say, Sean?
A drama-filled crew. There's always a little.
I don't know if it's a drama with us crew or if it's just like.
They're sensitive. They're sensitive.
Yeah, and so are we, though.
Okay.
Like, you know, I got to say, like, you ain't just talking to me any old type of way or treating us any old type of way. Like, I have to do an interview with you, or you're so important in the culture where we got to have a sit down. I don't need that. Like, if it works out, that's cool. I would love to, you know what I'm saying? Because you're awesome and I love your music. But if we don't get along or you don't like me or for whatever reason, we don't ever have to sit down. Like, it's not, I'm not going to hold it against you or not support your music if we don't do an interview. You know what I mean?
People, but we are sensitive, just now.
But we are. I'm sensitive, too. Shit. You ain't just like, what? And people dead ass think real shit that just because we have these jobs, like you could just talk to us. It happens all the time in the street where people be like, yo, Ebro, come over here. Nigga, who the fuck is you talking to, bro? The fuck is going on, man?
Come, like, come over here is crazy, by the way.
It
is
yo, hey, bro, I don't know you, fam. And by the way, you know me. You listen all the time, and I appreciate you. You gotta chill.
You can't just scream, get over here.
You gotta chill, man. I'm not your bitch.
It's
damn, bro.
No, but it'd be on that type of time, though.
I can't tell who's in a better or worse situation, though, Ebro or me, because I'm small too, and they're like, they try to like tell me what to do. Now, in some ways, that's better because if Ebro gets an attitude back, it could actually be a problem. In my case, it might just make them be like, oh, they kind of realize maybe they're being a bit much. Whereas in Ebro's case, they could feel threatened because he's an imposing figure. So now you're in this awkward place of like, I want to be appreciative of you listening to the show, but you cannot just tell me to come to you. That's crazy.
Well, here's another. This happened last week. So we walking out of the radio station. Some dude outside the radio station want to tell me a story how we crossed paths. He wants me to listen to his music. Bro is so intense about what he wants to impose on me that he is like up on my car, but I haven't closed the door yet. So I eventually got to be like, yo, my man, check this out. You got to relax. I understand you're passionate about your music. You got to relax, though. Because also what happens is people they're so passionate about whatever they need to tell you or passionate about the show that they honestly are really trying to show love or just whatever, but it comes off as this nervous energy.
Yeah.
I got nervous energy, too. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So your nervous little anxious energy and my nervous, like I ain't playing with you energy. You getting too close to me energy. You playing me too close energy. That ain't going to mix. So I got to be the first one to go, hey, hey, we got to relax.
Like, by the way, you described it so well. It was such nervous energy. It was not what I was trying to deal with at that
moment. But whatever that is, they're so passionate about this moment, this opportunity to have a convo, share with you what they've been working on. I get it. You're passionate. But you got to realize people be approaching us all the time. That energy makes me feel like, what's next?
Yeah. And they're just trying not to let the moment slip.
That, and now you're trying to not let the moment end, and I got somewhere to be.
Yeah, that's the hard part. You don't want
to. So I'm not finna stand here for 45 minutes and talk to you.
Yeah. And then the arm around you is weird too. Like, I don't really know you like that.
The arm around.
Yeah, people.
Sometimes people try to put your arm, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yo, I mean, I've been in so many. You guys don't even know the audio that we play on 1UP all the time of Capone and Noriega's friend calling me a Jew N-word repeatedly. You know, me and Syfe play it all the time. It's the craziest. It is the craziest audio. When you hear it now, you'll feel so uncomfortable. You'll be like, what is happening? Why?
Oh,
and by the way, the dude is, whoever it was, I think is attempting to be endearing.
It sounds like
But his arms wrapped around me tight, saying that's the Jew N-word. The Jew N-word. And the other guy jumps in and goes, super Jew N-word. What does that mean?
What does this that's mean? The Jew N-word with the cape on it, my
chick. It sounds like love to me.
It sounds like love. Like, but then there's one last one he says that sounds, I might have to play it for you guys before we leave.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one the N-word is one of them things that based on your inflection can mean anything in a moment.
Yo, Shani, dude rap writes, don't let Shani know Drake has Shinsia too. I don't even know if that's true,
chill,
by the way.
Fam,
we don't
nah.
even know if that's fat. You're just some random dude.
Yeah,
dude rap, we appreciate you. We don't even know if that's true. Yeah. So what are you talking about?
Bro.
Lewis Jr. writes, I'm sure Drake feels like people keep adding criteria for what it means to be great with the sole purpose of trying to keep him below the threshold. I disagree with that, Lewis Ross. I think the criteria... If Drake had a classic album, like a bona fide, universally accepted classic album, beyond just his stands and fans, everybody already thinks Drake is great anyway. So I think it would be more unequivocal if he had a bona fide classic album to go along with all of his other successes. But because he makes albums that are so many skews. This mall has everything. It's got R&B. It's got dance music. It's got Afro beats.
It's got cereal
music. It's got
furniture.
Oh, it's so many skews.
get some apples.
Bascom, real quick. Bascom, present. Let my screen go. All right, let's see if this plays through.
Yeah, let's see.
Hopefully you can hear.
You can't hear you, bro.
I heard the super Jew.
The last one.
Last one.
He's like, Jew nigga.
Yo, the last one, the Jew nigga.
Yeah, that last one. You had to use
it. Syfe always says, every time we played, he goes, last one didn't feel right. The last one didn't feel right.
He's right.
The point is, people say, if you see us, just a quick wave and love the show. But we do
90% of the best. Keep it real. That's 99%.
Nah, 99% of the best. And you guys know my theory. White people tend to want to take my time more. They believe like, hey, I know you. Thus, I should have your time. Like, we should chat. Whereas generally our black and brown listeners hit me with the my guy and just keep walking. And I'm like,
that's what I get most of the time.
There's nothing better than a yo, you're my guy, and then you just keep walking. Or literally, some people seem like, yo, that's Bear. And I'm like, that's Bear. Like, and that's it.
I love the feeling of walking around New York City and just feeling like you're a part of a giant community of people who know you, they see you. They appreciate your work.
Yeah.
You make them smile. Like, it's such a great feeling.
Awesome.
It's the best feeling. Like, you know, most of what Rosenberg is articulating, that feeling, like, people give us a lot of thank yous. I get a lot of thank yous from people. Like what you do, like what you say, thank you for what you're doing. Like, all of that is amazing. Nikki Stewart writes, I like this better than the apps live, but I prefer the live during the show.
Prefer
interesting.
The live.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask, do you guys like this? We're just talking shit. That's it.
Well, it has a name, Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry. The after party.
No, that's not, I don't know why they keep. I don't know why they keep writing.
That's what it says. It says live after party.
First of all, I hate EITM. So the worst. I hate it. After party sucks.
And no one has an after party at 9 a.m. That's just a fact. There we go.
We go live after the live program show.
There it is. Now that's something.
And I don't know if it's program slash show as much as it's program hyphen show.
Agreed. And get rid of the comma too. Let's update that again. We go live after the live pro. Oh no, after the live comma. The comma should be after the first live.
That's right.
And then it should say live program show.
Live.
No,
because the real title is live program show.
Right.
Because we go live after we were live on the live program show.
And now, exactly. You just take the first letter of all of those and hashtag that.
Yeah, like a Bad Bunny album.
Yeah.
WGLATLPS is crazy.
Do that. Oh, Juanita with a good one. The post live after show is pretty good.
Oh, I don't mind the post live. Oh,
post live after show is pretty good.
No, they still got it wrong, man. You know what, guys? Listen, we got to keep working on this.
We go live after the live. Oh, no, there it is. We go live after the live. Comma, live program, hyphen, not slash.
Yeah, it's not a slash. Can you change the slash to a hyphen and then we can, or nothing, just a space, but we got it. That's it.
No, Juanito, you're falling off now. More show and more friends. More show and friends now.
All right, Juanito, you were good, man. Let's take the rest of the day off.
Cool. Post live after show was a home run. You should have
won that. Boom. Here we go.
There it is.
We go live after the live program dash show. That's it. Look at that.
That's a title.
Kidding me?
Yo, we should have had a contest to name the show. Let people submit names of the show for like a year. Then act like we hated each other. And then announce that we're back with a new show.
Oh, I like that. I've heard that before.
There it is, Cass. The WGLATLLPS.
Yeah, now pronounce it. There you go.
Wagalatsalupsa. The Wiglats lips.
How about the
Wiglat lips?
Wiglat lips.
There you go.
No, that's good. Wiglat lips. It's been real. It's been really fun.
All right, guys. Peace to the gods.
Hey, man. What a great program show after the show. Live.
After the show live.
See you next week.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.